Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. It's wonderful to have you here on a Tuesday afternoon. I like a good reason to celebrate. I like a good punch to a postseason appearance as much as the next guy. Giants were doing some celebrating last night, and why not? It's the most, what, anticipated, unanticipated, I don't even know how to say it. It's supposed to be a ta-da moment when a team reaches its magic number. No real surprise, though. It's not like we didn't know that the lady was going to not really be cut in half. There was not a lot of magic to it. It's just been an extraordinary, overachieving season that has gone all the way to the Giants getting into the postseason before any other team in Major League Baseball. And that sentence alone is something we did not expect to say. Welcome, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, this afternoon. Ray and Matt, postseason tickets punched. Congratulations to you both.
I did nothing.
Ain't that the truth?
But it'll give us something to talk about.
Well,
so,
but the thing that happened last night, other than the fact that San Diego continues to sort of take a knee on a regular basis, is that the Giants have gone from being, oh, nobody expected this, to, okay, now what are you going to do? Because they've done the first thing nobody thought. And now the question is, okay, now that you're in, what are we supposed to see? And I think that's a very interesting turn for them, because they're no longer Cinderella. They're now a power.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes, right? Winning brings with it expectation, and that's what the Giants have now. People have expectations for this team, and rightfully so. And as far as San Diego goes, man, it's only fair that if they were going to bend over for the Dodgers, they should do the same for the Giants.
Giants jumped out to a 5-0 first-inning lead last night, just hopping on you, Darvish, and then end up winning the game in a walk. 9-1, your final yesterday evening from 24 Willie Mays. They've won 8 straight, but they can't even get like more than a half game better on the Dodgers at any moment. What are they up, 3 now? The Dodgers have won 4 in a row, allowing just 5 runs over the course of their winning streak. Again, the Padres did lay down and die for them, but did the same for the Giants. And thank you very much. I know that our friend Darren Smith from San Diego is going to be joining us tomorrow to talk about what a reversal of fortunes. I mean, the Padres oversold as an overlord. Nobody sold the Giants for anything. And look at the different situations they're in.
Yeah, it's actually still 2.5 because the Dodgers beat Arizona again last night. So they're still, you know, they're still exactly where they've been as the Giants like assemble this new winning streak. I mean, the Dodgers are harder to kill than roaches, which is good because it makes the last 3 weeks more fun. As for the Padres, they're now no longer a playoff team again by half a game, but more hilariously, they're tied with the St. Louis Cardinals, and we haven't mentioned them at any point the entire baseball season.
They got some players, though. They got all the guys who used to be in the division torturing the Giants, right? I mean, it's a pretty decent roster.
They've got Paul Goldschmidt and they've got Nolan Arenado. After that, I defy you to name five. Well, you know who else they have?
Five's a and lot, he, Ray.
Hmm?
Five's a lot. I'm an American League baseball fan who follows the Giants. You know,
okay.
What do you want from
me?
I'll give you Adam Wainwright. How's that?
I will spot you Adam Wainwright because he's ridiculous good, even at 39. After that, you're looking at, you know, Paul DeJong and, you know, Harrison Bader. I mean, it is a literal collection of players more anonymous today than the Giants were on April 1st.
Yadier Molina, I mean, it's just waiting there for you, right? Matt Carpenter, yeah. I think I could probably name if I
they
had
they got some
to.
Of the old guards still.
Yeah,
like, that's
gun to my head, I could do it. But for the sake of this program, we won't go through it right now. Because as excited as we are for the San Francisco Giants, the San Francisco 49ers served another scoop of bad news today. It sounded like having Raheem Mostert go to the IL and miss 6 to 8 weeks recovering from a knee, that felt like a lot. Well, today he makes the announcement that he's done for the year. He is going to have an elective knee surgery, just not a procedure to clean it up, and it is going to shut him down. And he says all the right things about how, you know, this will allow him to come back at 110% next year. And it happened early enough in this year. Well, he'll be totally ready to go next year. And I sure hope that that all adds up for him. But, man, it's bad news for a 49ers team who we know, you know, have kind of a deep backfield as it is. But Mostert really had a gear and a little element of special around him that unfortunately no one ever was able to get used to. He is in and out of the team's huddle and the depth chart as much as anyone. And it just stinks because from a little charity work that he's been nice enough to do for a charity that is near and dear to my heart, the Guardsmen, I've been able to get to know Raheem Mostert just a little bit and had some personal conversations with him. And I can tell you, he is a really, really good guy. He has got a wonderful family, and it's just a crying shame, man. Football is a brutal sport, and it is merciless on the body.
And I don't know if you saw, but on this, you know, community service aspect, he just won an award for all the work he's done in the community. So yeah, I don't think there's any doubt this is a good guy who's made himself a part of the Bay Area community, and it stinks. And just more broadly, it stinks that, look, injuries happen in all sports, but especially in football. But the degree to which the Niners have seemed to be snake bit for, you know, going on 16 months or something like that, it's just, it's infuriating beyond anything else. It's just hard to watch. It's sad.
Last year was extraordinarily well targeted if you're the Seattle Seahawks. This year, you know, of all the players who went down in week one, I don't know. It seems to me like for whatever reason, with all the medical advancements that there seem to be across the league, is that it almost feels like there's more injuries across the league than there used to be. I have no numbers to prove that. It's just a feel I have, is that every time you hear of somebody doing something well, the next thing you hear 2 weeks later is, and he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks.
When it comes to the 49ers, I really wonder if at any point in time this entire year they're going to be able to put one game together with, we dress 48, we have no injury updates for 48 players. It doesn't feel like that game has come across their schedule in a couple of years now. And obviously not every injury is a catastrophic shut down the season, multiple week injury. But just from I can't remember a football game where the 49ers said, and we're clean. You know, we come out of this one clean. Nothing to report to you. Everyone feels good. We're happy to get on an airplane and go back home healthy and sound. It's been a real, real long time since that has happened. And it's just a shame. So every now and then, sports offers up a little bit of a surprise. And I got to tell you, the Brother Manning's broadcast on ESPN, which Ray, you and I in studio yesterday, we saw out of the corner of our eyes. And, you know, we both kind of mocked it as we were watching the beginning of it because it looked like there was a little like Gruden impersonation shtick. And maybe that did happen early. By the time I was home last night and in front of that broadcast, I did turn it on reluctantly. Like, I was just watching the Monday Night Football broadcast, happy with that. And a buddy of mine said, look, you got to switch over to this Manning thing. Even if you're not interested, you just got to see it for a little bit. And I did. And it sucked me in like a black hole. No pun intended. What a game for the Raiders last night. I mean, that was about one of the most Raider games ever, except they win it and everyone goes home happy in the end. But the game was extraordinary. The finish was something that is just uncommon to these football eyes, and I think everyone's. And the Manning Brothers broadcast turned into one of the more interesting things I have seen in sports television for a really, really long time for many reasons. And we're going to get into all of them today. I know that Alex Pavlovich is going to be joining us a little bit later on today to get back into the Giants punching their ticket. And look, no one's putting the Raiders in the playoffs, but man, that felt like a playoff win. The electricity in that building, the fact that you got teams almost exchanging jerseys and handshakes because you think it's over, then review says he's short, a turnover, a false start, a fumble, not in that chronological order. The false start happened before the interception in the end zone. It was pandemonium in Vegas last night. What a way to kick off, really, the Las Vegas Raiders in that town with fans in that stadium for the first time. No one who went to that game will ever forget that they were there.
It was a classic Raider game in which they lost it six times, but for one of the rare times in their recent history, they didn't lose it the last time it had to be lost.
Even the way they won it was absurd. Like, they delay of gamed themselves out of reasonable field goal range, for goodness sakes, because the kicker didn't run on the... I mean, the whole thing was, like you guys are saying, Raider as hell, and the fact that they win it, not just win it, but on an insane open run for, what, a, like, 30-yard touchdown? It's tremendous. What a game. And echo Damon...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Quickly, the Manning broadcast, I've been struggling all morning with the right way to put this. Because I said on Twitter, I think that's the greatest game broadcast of all time, and I've realized that's not the right way to say it. I think what I mean is, for the first time in my life, I saw a version of exactly what I want. Me, what I want out of a game broadcast in either football or basketball. Because my whole life, every broadcast has been play-by-play man, analyst, and almost invariably, with some exceptions, the analyst is giving easy stuff, right? It's stuff I pretty much know most of the time. And for the first time, I had two guys way beyond me explaining things I never would have thought of, and I found it incredible.
I have never had a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback and his brother, who was a pretty damn good NFL quarterback, plus an active quarterback who we all think is a total stud in Russell Wilson, sitting on my couch with me. And that's what that felt like. I felt like I was sitting on the couch with three NFL legit voices, and it was really interesting. We will get into all of it with you this afternoon. Who knows what might pop up on the guest list? We do know that Alex Pavlovich will be joining us at 4:30. He was one of the rare reporters in the clubhouse last night for the celebration sensation. We'll talk about whether or not that should even be happening. But man, we got a great show for you this Tuesday afternoon. Welcome to it. We are brought to you by the Exergen thermometers. Accuracy matters to detect fever, COVID-19's leading symptom. It's critical to take an accurate temperature. So Exergen temporal scanner is the only thermometer whose accuracy has been proven in more than 100 clinical studies. You can learn more at Exergen.com. It's great to have you with us today. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, download that Odyssey app. You miss anything we do here on 95.7 The Game, you can find it right there. Powered by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Welcome back. Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky this afternoon with you. And man, that Monday night was an interesting night of football, an interesting night of sports television with the Manning Brothers broadcast. But let's start with the actual game itself, because the ending was, I mean, right out of a movie. I mean, it looked like the Raiders after, it looked like the Raiders had won the game, and to the point where the two teams are out at midfield congratulating each other, and nice, good, they're good gaming each other. And the announcement in Allegiant Stadium is, you know,
game is not over. Game is not over. Everyone, please return to your sidelines.
And the game was not over. The game ended up going this, and this is overtime. So we're already in overtime. And instead of it being a touchdown, Las Vegas Raiders, old habits die hard. Instead of it being touchdown Raiders, it was the Raiders had the ball on the goal line. Well, Derek Carr QB sneak stuffed. Second play, for whatever reason, you got Carr hard counting. You can't get much closer with, even if you get the team to jump off sides, but he hard counts and gets his own offensive lineman to false start. So now instead of just punching it in, you got to go a little bit of a distance there. They throw, the ball is tipped, interception, Ravens. Oh my God, the Raiders are going to go from winning this game to losing this game. Carl Nassib makes the play of his professional football life, stripping Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, was under pressure an awful lot last time. The Raiders' defense is no great shakes, but that's an improved defensive line. I also think Baltimore's got problems. In a lot of places, we didn't even think Baltimore was going to have problems, but I digress. You get all the way to... we got the interception. Let's go ahead and play the interception, because every Raider fan, you know you died a little in this moment. You know you did. Here it is.
Carr throwing off the fingertips and intercepted. It's Anthony Averett went off of Willie Snead's hands, and Averett intercepts at the end zone. A few minutes ago, there's a wild Raiders celebration on the field, and now it's Baltimore football.
It really looked like the Las Vegas Raiders were going to suffer one of the most horrific beats you'll ever see in your life if they come back now. Remember, we're in overtime, so a field goal wins the game. But no, Carl Nassib makes the play of his life, and then after lining up for a field goal, after recovering the fumble, there's a timeout call. They don't have timeouts, so now they're out of field goal range because of that penalty. I mean, you could hear the veiled disgust in the Manning Brothers broadcast that we'll talk about. But then all of a sudden, Derek Carr on a zero blitz, let her rip, and he found Zay Jones. Play it, Grandy.
Hope you're having as much fun as we are. What a ball game here tonight. Get a throw. Drake picked up the pressure. All alone is Zay Jones, and he will prance into the end zone for the touchdown and the victory in overtime for the Raiders. And this celebration is for real.
Steve Levy with the call on ESPN, and it was extraordinary. I mean, even if forget that it was the Raiders, which will obviously forever have a tie to the Bay Area, that could have been a game between the Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans, two teams that we do not talk about an awful lot, and we would be talking about it today. It was an extraordinary finish. It was something I've never seen before. Big plays, huge mistakes, midfield handshakes, and oh, by the way, it's not even over yet. It was extraordinary.
Well, the great thing about the interception was that it didn't just go off Willie Snead's hands. It went right through his hands, hit another Raven in the helmet, and then landed in Averett's hands. So it was a classic Raider type interception in that two guys, one on each team, was completely surprised that the ball was there at all. The second thing that struck me as weird is that Zay Jones doesn't get open if Marlon Humphrey isn't picked by one of his own guys as Jones is coming off the line. You know, I mean, it just, you can't make up the number of ways those two teams tried to strangle themselves. And like I said, it was one of those rare times where the Raiders weren't the ones doing the strangling at the end.
Yeah, that interception, Ray is so right. I even had that thought in the moment. It's the sort of interception that could only happen to the Raiders or the Chicago Bears. Directly through, and maybe a little hot, but there's no way Willie Snead should not catch that ball. It went straight between his hands, right into the face of a defender, and bounced perfectly up into the air into another defender's hands. It's just that sort of stuff does not happen on a football field. And then they couldn't beat Marlon Humphrey all night. The only way they could beat Marlon Humphrey, I mean, that was one of the notable things on the Manning broadcast, was them talking constantly about how nobody on the Raiders could get open in general, but especially against Marlon Humphrey. And then his own linebacker takes him out on the biggest play of the game, which, by the way, I don't know what you guys thought, but when they decided to run a play instead of kick at that point, I figured, well, it's going to be another run play. It's going to be a short pass to try to just get slightly better field position. I never thought they'd even have a route running towards the end zone. So everything about the end of that game defied expectations.
When's the last time you saw a zero blitz in an overtime could be the end of the game moment? I mean, it was a Jets game that got... What was it? Who got fired that day? I mean, like, it was insane.
Greg Williams, maybe?
Yeah, it was Greg Williams who got fired that day. Yeah, good call. Good memory. Very good recall. But it was an extraordinary, extraordinary finish. It was an electric atmosphere. It was surrounded by both teams showing levels of execution that had an awful lot to do with levels of incompetence, dotted with just a stunning finish that, I'm telling you, it's wins like that that ingrain new teams to towns. And obviously the Raiders come in with an awful lot of house credit because they're just happy to have an NFL team. But anyone who was there last night, whether you were a Raider fan whether you are not a fan of either team, just wanted to be there, or a Ravens fan, that's the craziest football game you're ever going to go to in your life. I say that with full confidence. You will never see a nuttier finish than what that was last night. And at the end of it, Derek Carr was doing the midfield post-game, hey, how are you, with Lisa Salters, and here it is.
Derek, how would you describe this game?
You know what? It reminded me so much of my career so far. A lot of this, you know what I'm saying? And I'm thankful for this group because on both sides we made plays to help us lose it and to help us win it, but the only thing that matters at the end of the day is that score, as we've talked about. So I'm glad that we won.
I know how much you were looking forward to the opener in this building. How did this game, the way it played out, how did it compare to how you thought it would go?
Well, you always want it to go perfect. But playing a defense like this, I played them 4 or 5 times in my career now. It's the most difficult thing you have to do, you know. And it took us a while to get going, but once we did, we were able to score some points.
Now, after you guys were partying on the field, thinking that you had it won,
yes.
What went through your mind when you saw the ball bouncing around in the end zone and then pick it off?
I'm like, not like this. You know what I mean? Like, I can't lose a game like this. We did too many good things to get us in that position to win it. But the thing that I love the most, everyone to talk crap about our defense for 12 months. And they stepped up when we needed it the most and got us the ball back so we could win it again.
Did you think you were going to get the ball back?
100%. 100%. 100% thought we were going to get the ball back. Absolutely. I have all the confidence in the world in them, and it's never wavered.
Look, Derek Carr is a very good quarterback who has very questionable moments at times, but he's good at what he does. The team loves him. The players around him, he certainly loves his players back. There's an awful lot to like about Derek Carr, man, and that was a game that he deserves one of those in his career, and he hasn't really had many of those in his career, and I'm glad he got it last night. And for everyone who's been waiting to get in that stadium, what a way to unwrap that thing officially with fans. I mean, it was really extraordinary. I'm not trying to twist the knife in the city of Oakland at all, but what a night for the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't even know any other way to say it. It was as an extraordinary a regular season football game as I've ever watched in my life. And I know that because it felt like a first ballot Hall of Famer, his brother, who's probably also going to end up in the Hall of Fame, and Russell Wilson, who's going to probably end up in the Hall of Fame, were watching it with me. Or I should say I was watching it with them. The Manning Brothers broadcast was just next level interesting, as you were saying, Kolsky. I have never been given the little just tidbits of instant information. Just here's something that I see that you wouldn't see because you're not a Manning. Here's something that I see that you wouldn't see because I'm prepping to, you know, play the Ravens coming up later. You know, Russell Wilson, I don't know if the Ravens are on the Mariners schedule or the Mariners, excuse me, the Seahawks schedule or not. But I mean, it just to have two retired guys who were total studs and one active guy. And I know that they had other I guess Ray Lewis came on the broadcast. Travis yep. Kelce came on that broadcast. I didn't see any of that. I didn't join it until it was late.
You missed Kelce swearing.
I'm going to tell you right now that I am never going to not choose that as my preferred broadcast when it comes around again. And maybe it was just because it was the first time around and you never forget that first time, everyone. But it was next level.
It had some elements, maybe inadvertent, of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Because it was literally...
It totally did.
It's the four robots sitting in the foreground walking you through a game rather than a bad science fiction movie from the 50s. The other thing is, it reminded me as it went on that every other thing that the Mannings do on television, all the way down to College Bowl, they should stop doing. Because it's not going to get better than that. This is the high watermark. They did do all the things that you said they did. And they made a football game that wasn't uninteresting, made it better. In fact, they did a better job than the two teams did of accomplishing the goals they set out to accomplish. I think their next game won't be nearly the pie fight this was, because I don't think there will be another game as that's as big a pie fight as this one was. But it's the first time that any network has come up with a gimmick for how to broadcast a game that didn't just lay down and die. I mean, the SpongeBob game, the game that had no announcers. I mean, this is the first time that either networks, the league, or both decided, you know what? It's okay to pull the curtain back a little bit. Not everything has to be a nuclear secret. And the fact that they could pull that off, as weirdly as it was, and as weird as they were, is one of the few real triumphs of network televised football in a really long time.
Don't hold your breath, Ray, because the Mannings will be calling the kneecap-biting Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football next week.
Well, they'll probably quit after that.
They're going to do but semi-weekly? It's not an every-week thing, which I think
it's every
also
Monday.
Good. Oh, I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's every Monday. I don't think they signed up for that, or unless they would have just signed up for Monday Night Football in some way.
No, but no. So I heard Peyton talking about this on, I think it was Bill Simmons' podcast, and I think the plan is to do at least most, if not all, of Monday Night Football. And so here's what another thing he said relating to the Packers-Lions game, although, be honest, the way the Packers played last week, let's not be so sure that won't be a competitive football game. But assuming it's the blowout we would generally expect from that sort of matchup, Peyton specifically talked in this interview where I heard him about how when the game gets out of hand, they'll just talk about other stuff. They'll just, like, again, like you were saying, Damon, the goal is exactly what you and I both felt, which is to feel like you're just sitting on the couch watching a game with a couple of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And I was so intrigued by this that I took notes on some of the things they said that I was like, wow, that never would have occurred to me. Here's a weird one. In overtime, or no, actually it was the fourth quarter, when the Raiders had, you know, 37 seconds to get to that field goal to tie the game, right? And I believe it was Edwards caught a pass over the middle and spotted the ball. And Peyton said, oh no, never do that. You hand it to the umpire.
Right, you can't do that. You don't throw him the ball these guys can't catch.
Right. And just you give it to the umpire and make sure it's the umpire because he's the one who spots the ball and that's the fastest way to get it done. Right? Little things like that.
Right. And he even said at he's one like the point, umpire is always to the left of the quarterback. You know, he's that
yes.
guy.
Yeah. At one point he said, you know, it's hard to play quarterback frustrated. And he made the point, look, if you're a running back, you can run angry. Right? If you're a defensive player, certainly you can play angry. But as a quarterback, there's too much going on in your head. You got to be a little more clear-headed. It's hard to play QB frustrated. And look, these are not like world-beating Mensa insights. They're just the little things that guys who played the position their whole life know, and I don't. At one point, he talked about crowd noise penetration, and I think he ended up being wrong because it was actually just Calais Campbell beating somebody on the Raiders' offensive line. But just the notion that crowd noise penetration exists. He explained it as, look, if the crowd's too loud, and in this case it was the Raiders' home crowd in theory, if the crowd's too loud, the offensive line doesn't hear the snap count as well, and they don't get off as quickly and as much in unison. All these little things like that, I just thought it was so much more insightful than 99% of what we get on football broadcasts. And for someone like me who doesn't get a ton out of a play-by-play guy telling me what I'm seeing, because I pretty much know what I'm literally seeing, I'd so much rather have that off-the-cuff conversation between two really smart football people than listen to someone describe the action that I'm watching with my own eyes and then have someone else try to sneak in whatever insight they can think of.
But it makes me wonder why we haven't heard that before. Because there have been thousands of games with hundreds of analysts. And the play-by-play guy, that never bothers me because all he's there to do is sort of, you know, reset the game 100 times. He's not the insight guy. He's the guy who tells you it's 3rd and 8, which is fine. But for everybody who raves about this analyst or complains about that one, the fact that the Mannings came in their first game and told you about 30 things you'd never realized makes me wonder in part, well, what have these other nitwits been giving us all these years? You know, the Mannings should not have been able to tell us 20 new things about football. Those should have been part and parcel of the average viewing experience. But
well, I think there's two reasons, Ray.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's two things. One is, and this is something you've certainly talked about on this very show, a lot of these guys can't get past the insider concept of there's some things that aren't for the public. Right? A lot of these guys, like, they learn stuff in meetings with the coaches, but they don't want to say it because they don't want to violate anyone's trust. And, like, you know, people got mad at Tony Romo for telling us too much of what was going on before the play and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's one half. And the other half is I think it's on purpose because I don't know. And this is why I think it was probably wrong, or at least wrong phrasing, for me to say it's the greatest broadcast ever, because I'm not sure how big the group that really wants that is. And certainly the NFL is trying to cater to an incredibly large group of people that are not interested in that level of X's and O's and insight. They basically want to know what just happened and anything really big that they, you know, can't understand the game at all without. They don't want to hear about what the X was doing on the backside of the play. They don't want to hear about, you know, well, I might have gone with 21 personnel there instead of 22. It's a level of granular analysis that I'm not sure everyone's interested in, and I'm honestly not sure. The NFL clearly thinks a lot of people are not interested in it because they don't give it to us.
There are two other elements that I think made that successful. I have talked to people who have covered the Peyton Manning football camps and stuff that he's run and said that this guy explains the game to seven-year-olds in ways that you would be blown away by. So, first of all, you got to be a great communicator. Peyton Manning is a great communicator. He is beyond good football-level communicator. Peyton Manning is the kind of guy who could walk in without talking about football and hold the interest of your six-year-old. I mean, he is just that much of a charismatic, yet still wrapped in an aw shucks Louisiana presentation that really works. And I also think that a real key to that broadcast success is the opposite of the theory of when in Rome. When a broadcaster steps into a play-by-play booth in an NFL stadium, you almost step into the expectation of what that is. And we have watched so many thousands of football games. I'm sure everybody listening could do an impression of a color commentator. They weren't in Rome, in last night's case, Las Vegas. They were in isolated studios, and I think that distance created the I'm not going to fall into the stereotype of what you think an in-game broadcaster will be, and oh, by the way, I have the mind of a Hall of Fame quarterback, so if I just really start letting it go, you're going to be interested in it, along with, Matt, the little nuggets, the things, the nuance that they told you about. It's also the nonverbal, or no, I guess all inflections are verbal, but the unintended inflections, like that broadcast dripped with Peyton Manning's veiled disgust with both teams, both teams' coaches, both teams' offensive plans, both teams' rhythms. Peyton Manning would have spent the entire postgame yelling at either locker room had he been in that locker room. I mean, he was disgusted by some of the stuff that he saw, yet he tried to put a brave face on it, but the truth came out in the way he said things and just the reaction, the way that he would roll his eyes like, oh, yes, come on. And I'll tell you
one of my favorite things was the way he kept putting his fists up in front and like moving them like players, you know what I mean? He was like doing the hand motions, like when you're here and doing this and that, and he's just moving his hands around, like he was into it. And you're so right, he had this thing of like, oh,
right. And then boy, he's talking about
that's terrible.
And by the way, to get back to the game, I think Hunter Renfro stepped out of bounds like 30 yards before they spotted him getting down.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
And that was, it was so lost in the mix of the insanity of all of that. And they never bothered looking at it. But right before that, the route that got him out there, it's an in and out route. But Peyton Manning's like, yeah, we call that the burger route, you know, in and out. And just little hokey, goofy things like that, the kind of language and jargon that you only pick up if you've lived in NFL huddles your entire life, was fantastic. And then maybe this is because I have a 2-year-old son and a newborn, and I'm now more interested in the big brother, little brother dynamic. That was on full display last night, too.
Absolutely.
You had the little brother, like, just interjecting some pithy things along the way, a little analysis, but basically letting his big brother carry the load. He was thrilled to have Russell Wilson basically do the work so he could pick up the paycheck anyways. There was all that to it. Ray, we'll get back to this. And I want to involve the audience, because I think a lot of people watch this. What did you think of the Brothers Manning broadcast last night? And I'm telling you, it might get so popular based on word of mouth. What if it outrates the actual ABC broadcast? What a nightmare that would be for ABC if that actually happened. And would they flip them if that did? 888-957-9570 is the number. A remarkable win for the Raiders. A really unique broadcast. And we want to talk about it with you. What stood out if you watched it? We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Great to have you here this afternoon. A thriller on Monday Night Football. A very unique broadcast. We will get back to the Giants punching their postseason ticket. We've got plenty to let you know about the Niners as they get ready for the Eagles. Bad news for Raheem Mostert. He will not be playing again this year. Surgery is going to cost him the year. And we have absolutely identified the single worst fans in sports. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. It's like, Ray, you have texted the show yourself, because on the text line, somebody has written in from the 707. All announcers suck. I watch every game with the sound turned down. Their idiocy is insufferable. That sounds like something you would say, Ray. And there are many times when you would be right. And I know that you do an awful lot of, I'm not listening to the broadcast, I'm just watching it. And as you and I, we're watching the beginning of the Manning thing soundless as it came on in our studio. I think we both rolled our eyes on it, but obviously curiosity got the better of us. And you, about as hard a person to walk away impressed with something, were at least mildly impressed with the broadcast. And I think that speaks volumes about how interesting it would be. Now, of course, you're predicting chaos and it'll never be as good as that, so why bother ever do it again? But you say that about everything that's good. So I think what's going to make this a bit more sustainable is the information and knowledge that we get out of it is almost independent of how good the actual game is, because they're going to be able to take you inside huddles that other things have not, you know. And I'm not here for the Charles Barkley interview. If I want Charles Barkley, I'll get him during NBA broadcasts. He can't add to it. But I'm guessing that Ray Rice and Travis Kelce, who I did not see, did their part to add to it. And then Russell
Ray
Wilson.
Lewis, importantly, sorry.
What did I say?
The other Ray would have been, you said Rice. It would have been a very different situation. But Ray Lewis on the broadcast, thumbs up.
Thank you for the real-time correction. That's worthy of a real-time correction. Thank you. It really was a standout moment. And in other news, Adam Schefter has just said an announcement's going to be made during the halftime of Thursday night's Giants-Washington game that will involve the future of Hard Knocks, per league officials. the announcement can't be there's going to be more of it because it stunk this year. I wonder if they're just going to say we're done with it. That'll be interesting to follow up on. But you got more out of that last night than you did Thursday. I don't know. To build anticipation.
I thought of that too. Like, if they were going to, canceling it seems like the easiest thing to do, right? But I feel like they would have just said that. They'd have just released that on a Friday. You know what I mean? Like they normally do with news they don't really want anybody to pay attention to. Announcing it at halftime on Thursday feels like it's going to be somehow altering the series in a way that the NFL thinks will improve it. I have any faith.
They'll go back to a joint, like they did with the Rams and the Chargers, maybe between the Giants, and they'll look at the examination of the division rivals. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I care less now than I ever thought I would. That show kind of stunk. Ray, at what point did you realize that you were enjoying the broadcast more than you ever assumed you would? Could you have Ray turn his mic on, please?
I think that's probably the best way to listen to anything. The two things that stuck out to me, one, it's not the idiocy that bothers me. It's the sameness. This was not the same. And the other thing that jumped out at me is one of the reasons why most NFL broadcasts sound the same. It's because the pre-show preparation is always the same. And the one thing that stood out about last night was that there was no access. They weren't going to talk to the quarterback and two other players and the head coach on the Saturday night before the game. They just did it winging it, essentially, just taking the game as it came to them and not really having a mountain of pre-prepped notes. It was something else. And I don't know how we're going to be able to define it in weeks to come. Because if they do this right, it shouldn't be easily definable. But this was their search to break the mold that they've been trapped in since Ray Scott was doing Packers games. And back when Ray Scott was doing Packers games, you know, there weren't 25 replay cameras. It was bare bones because that was the technology. Now the technology is way better than everything else. And the access still doesn't give you very much in terms of insight because players and coaches are much better at not telling you stuff than they used to be. So the thing that the Manning broadcast did was say, well, I don't need the access. I know what I'm looking at. You know, and the rest of it was personality.
Right. You know what liberating element of that broadcast was? How many times can you say, hey, the guy doing the broadcast is literally better than anyone involved in this game could ever be in their wildest dreams? Like, Peyton Manning is one of the four or five greatest quarterbacks of certainly his time. If you want to drop an all-time on it, not a lot of people will argue with you. Someone always wants to argue with everyone over everything. But Peyton Manning is unquestionably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and was better at his job in his career than anyone in that game ever will be. And that just lets him let her rip. Like, what does he have to prove to anyone? It's not like he's currying favor. Peyton Manning could crap all over you as a football player, and you'd run up to him for advice and an autograph.
Yeah, I think to Ray's point about sameness, that's part of the reason why Romo was as exciting as he was, is because he was doing it a little differently. I mean, still in the same sort of box that most analysts are put in, but a little differently than we'd gotten used to. That's why Madden was exciting, because there was no one quite like him. But to totally do away with anything normal about a broadcast and replace it with what amounts to just a conversation. As Ray pointed out, they replaced access with great experience and understanding. And I think for people who really love football and have watched enough of it to not need to be told, you know, that was an out route and so-and-so caught the ball, just hearing people who are so far beyond us talk about the game at a higher level was so fascinating and informative in a way that I just don't know any other broadcast could be.
But it was also fearless because they weren't beholden to anybody, because they didn't ask to talk to the head coach on Saturday night. All they did was take the game that everybody else was watching and explain it the way they understand it. You know, and it would have been every bit as good a broadcast if Peyton Manning wasn't Peyton Manning. I mean, there's a level of, you know, sort of star power that that name creates. But if he had been, I don't know, just to you know, throw a name out, if it had been sort of Dan Fouts Unchained saying exactly the same things, exactly the same way, it still would have been unscripted. It still would have been not programmed. And that's the one thing that the NFL has always been mortally afraid of. You know, the SpongeBob thing, I don't think they were going to worry about a cartoonist's expertise about football. This was Peyton Manning and his brother essentially talking about football as they understand it without notes. And it was working without a net that made it better. And their confidence in not working with a net.
I don't know who Annette is. I've never. What Annette are you talking about? Is she a lovely woman?
You suck.
888-957-9570 is the number. What did you think of the Brothers Manning broadcast? And by the way, the correct response, Ray, would have been, surely you can't be serious.
Who's Shirley? I don't steal from great dead comedians. That's wrong. Speaking of which.
R.I.P. Turd Ferguson, the greatest Turd Ferguson of all time. Norm MacDonald passing away at the age of 61. That hurts if you love comedy. That hurts if you love Saturday Night Live. That absolutely hurts. All right. What do you think of the Brothers Manning broadcast? 888-957-9570. This is Ren in San Bruno. Ren, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hello.
Well, first of all, that first footstep kind of a damper on my call here because I didn't know about that. So that's a shocker to me right there. So I didn't.
Sorry to break the bad news to you.
Yeah, wow. Shocker, man. But, if I could just try to get back on track here. First, I'd like to say, hey, those past several weeks with the sub-ins, those are going to be Odyssey classics right there with my man Ray right there making mincemeat of all the sub-ins. Those are going to be classics. Ray, you the man. And now if I could get on to what Kolsky was saying earlier, I'm going to rename him Kolsky, if that's all right with you, D. Bruce. But, hey, Kolsky, really quick, the Renfro step out and the Manning commenting on the receiver tossing the ball to the line judge, and he missed it, that he was pissed because he didn't get a helmet-to-helmet call. So he tossed it to him really quick. I thought we were going to get flagged on that on sportsmanlike. And then also I did pause it. He didn't step out. Renfro did not step out. You could actually see some green in between. But, the phone guy, the guy who answered the phone already told me about it. It was on ESPN2, the Manny Brothers, but I'm going to check it out next week. And I didn't know anything about it, so I didn't know it was on ESPN2.
Yeah, no, I mean, Ren, check it out next week. It's a really interesting thing, and never insult our fill-in broadcasters ever again. You're in the penalty box for a month.
Hold on, is that Hunter Renfro? Is Ren actually Hunter Renfro?
That might have been Hunter Renfro. I wasn't out of bounds. How dare you? No wonder I wasn't watching the Manning broadcast. And I like how he said, can I call you Kolsky? It's not like a stage name. You can call him Kolsky. Most people do. They'll even throw a mister in front of it at times. By the way, welcome to your 3 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.